We're just going to have a really easy conversation tonight. Life and death, okay? Hallelujah. Let me make it easy to begin with. This is not one of Pastor Wade's trick questions, Pastor Dave. Okay? How many prefer life over death? How about you that didn't respond? Oh, hallelujah. Life and death. I want you to turn in Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. We'll start there. We'll read a little bit from Acts chapter 5, and then we're going to look at what God's word has for us tonight. Oh, it is so good to see you, and I'm fit to be tied. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Father. Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35, you know, are speaking about how the church was in the early days. And this is after they have been working in fellowship with one another. They're devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer, okay? And God has just used Peter in a remarkable miracle. And this is the situation that the church is in at that time. And it is the result of sincerity and walking in the light. Okay? What we're about to read is the result of the church of the living God walking in sincerity. And when we talk about walking in sincerity and walking in the light, we're going to define that a little bit better tonight. Okay, and you know, I just really believe that we have hit on some secrets from God's word that are going to lead us into a new place in Him as a congregation. Amen. I know I'm not planning to say anything really new tonight, but I really feel like we're supposed to revisit some of the things that we've looked at in the past about walking in the light, about walking in sincerity, about what true fellowship is. You know, it's not eating food. It's not talking about the weather or the ball games, okay? That's not what true fellowship is. And as we devote ourselves to that and the other things that are mentioned in Acts chapter 2, this is what God does in the church. And even as we have been singing already, this is what He did here, and He'll do it again if we will do what they did. If we will do what they did, God will do it again. Amen. Okay, so this is the situation. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them. Hallelujah. Well, I want to say that again. There was not a needy person among them. For all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. Okay? Now, continuing on with what in our Bibles we call chapter 5, in the original scriptures, there are not these chapter divisions. You know, so it's like we're just continuing to read from what we have just read. It's an artificial break there, okay? But, say it with me, but a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself, with his wife's full knowledge, and bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came over all who heard of it. Okay? Yeah, I imagine so. You know, you go to church thinking you're going to get a blessing, and you end up being carried out, dead. That's not what's supposed to happen in church, right? But that is what happened in the early day church. Now, I want to kind of redirect, because for time's sake, we're not going to read about how pretty much the same thing happened with Sapphira. You know, she was in full agreement with what was being done, and so she suffered the same fate, you know, and so there's no need really to read that tonight. For time's sake, we're going to break into some other things. But I want to kind of reverse our train of thought here, you know, because when we look at this passage, we tend to look at how terrible a thing it was that happened with Ananias and Sapphira, and we might lose sight of the fact of what a glorious statement about the state of the church was that this happened, okay? Because what did Ananias and Sapphira actually do wrong? You know, were they stealing from God and their tithing? No, they weren't doing that. This was not part of their tithe, okay? This was something that they decided they wanted to do, because Peter said, look, before you sold the land, it was yours. You could do anything you wanted to with it, okay? And the fact that they were considering things to be in common did not remove the fact that that which belonged to people still belonged to them, okay? And so they were under no obligation to do anything of what they did, all right? They had no obligation. They were not being commanded by God to do this. This was something they decided to do. And so their sin was not in disobeying God. But what was their sin? Well, summarizing it, you know, hopefully effectively, their sin was projecting themselves to be giving a little bit more than they actually were, okay? Their sin was to present themselves as being a little better than what they were actually living, okay? Their sin was to be acting as if they were in a place that was a little bit higher than the one they actually were in. Okay? You see what we're talking about here? That is their sin. Now, here's the glorious thing about the situation that is shown forth in this passage. You know, because here there was only one or two people, one couple, that died when God judged those appearances. Okay? And basically what that means to me is that everyone else in the congregation was not doing that. They were living in sincerity, okay? There is a difference between perfection and sincerity. It does not say anywhere here that the church was living completely sinlessly. It doesn't say that they had attained to perfection here. What it does show forth is that they had attained to sincerity through true fellowship. And the fact that when God came and he judged, you know, false appearances, if you will, or people projecting themselves as being better than what they really were, when he did that, only two people were judged. And everyone else that was in the congregation apparently was living above that situation. Okay? They were living in sincerity and in truth. They were truly walking in the light. Walking in the light does not mean that I am perfect. Walking in the light is that I am in fellowship with truth, that I am projecting myself for who I am in truth. Okay? That I am sharing with others where I am in truth. Okay? And I right now I want to kind of give, once again, like I used to do a lot, I'm going to start doing this more now. This is where I want to tell you a little bit about life groups, because life groups that we have in this church are designed to help us grow in New Testament church life by helping us attain to a greater level of sincerity and truth in our relationships with one another. Okay? Our life groups are not so that we can talk about the problems. They're not so that we can talk about other people. They're not in the guise of praying for them. They're not so that we can gossip and talk bad. No, they are for the fact that we can begin to live life just like the New Testament church did, in true fellowship with sincerity of heart. And it gives people a format to do that that is not possible to do in a meeting like this one. Okay? It's not possible to do that in a meeting like this one. But in a life group, in one of our leaders' homes, or here at the church, wherever it may be, you know, the opportunity is given for each one to share sincerely about where their walk with the Lord is. Okay? And I don't want us to be unaware of the fact we had our life group leaders meeting Sunday afternoon over at Justin and Vanessa's house, you know, and the testimonies that were pouring forth from the leaders of the growth that is happening in their lives and in the lives of the people that are going to these groups, okay, was just overwhelming, really, to me. It was a powerful declaration that if we live life the way that the early church did, we will begin to experience the same results. Okay? And so I want to make it very, very clear tonight, church, you know, that much of what we are experiencing, you know, in terms of the supernatural, much of what we're experiencing in terms of blessing, much of what we're experiencing in terms of children turning to the Lord, you know, and they're turning and turning and turning, much of what we're experiencing in all of these areas is the direct result, okay, of our choosing to live a more New Testament-based lifestyle. Okay? More and more people in Grace Covenant Church are becoming more deeply sincere in our faith and in our fellowship with one another. The results of that is where there is an increase in truth being lived out in the community of believers. There is an increase of the ability of the Spirit of truth to move in our midst. Okay? Do you understand what we're talking about? What we are experiencing in this church, I believe if we will continue down this path and even grow and increase in it, we will see more powerful move of the Holy Spirit. We'll see more people being supernaturally healed. We'll see more people being supernaturally set free from different kinds of addictions. We'll see more children turning to the Lord, and we'll see them turning to the Lord more deeply than they are now. Yeah, that's something really to get excited about. You know, we're not talking about just a superficial, you know, conversion experience that they have and then forget. But we're talking about the whole value system of our young people being reshaped into something new, something that is based on the truths of the kingdom of God and being able to live it for the rest of their lives. Okay? The ability of the Holy Spirit to move in that way in our midst is directly proportional and related to the level of our sincerity before the Lord and before each other. Now, don't you all shout me down about that. You know, people don't want to hear that we have to do anything with one another. People don't want to hear that we have to get closer as a congregation. People don't want to hear that we got to be truthful with other people. But I'm telling you, that is the great unknown secret of New Testament church life. Amen. Yes, that's what it is. That's what it is. Oh, we know to ask God for more power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? People have been doing that now for over 100 years, and God has answered with a certain measure of the Holy Spirit. What we don't realize is that, you know, for our own good, He limits what He pours out, because until we are lined up with Him in sincerity and truth and walking in the light, we can't handle the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll misuse it. We'll abuse it. We'll make a movement out of it. We'll do things that we shouldn't do with it. Okay? And so as we increase in these things, tremendous things happen in the body. Amen. Now, we're not talking about, you know, just showing up at a meeting, you know, say on Tuesday night. A lot of our groups meet on Tuesday night. And we're not even talking about just being willing to participate. We're talking about becoming more and more sincere. Okay? We're talking about becoming more and more sincere. Now, in our society in these days, sincerity is a very rare thing. And we have to really work at attaining that. Because everything that we go through, all of the social conventions of our society are that we're not supposed to really be sincere. We're taught that if we really tell people about where we are, that we'll be rejected, that we'll be considered to be less. You know, there's a whole host of reasons. You know, and then now we've got social media, which has made it possible for people to project an image that is in no way lined up with the reality of their lives. Amen. You know, and have everyone believe that that is what their life really is. That all their lives, it's just a progression of happy moments. It's a progression of great restaurants. It's a progression of vacations all the time. Okay? You know, and this is my perfect husband, and this is my, you know, these are my perfect children, and they're always happy like this. In Facebook life, they are. Okay? You know, when's the last time you saw someone being real on Facebook? You know, they woke up and they took a picture of themselves before they made up their face. You know, say, yeah, this is where I'm really at this morning. This is where I'm really at, okay? This is what it really looks like at the Pope household at 6 o'clock on Monday morning. This is what it really looks like. You know, when's the last time that we did that? I'm being a little facetious about that, of course, but you get the point, okay? New Testament church living is exactly the opposite of Facebook. Facebook can be a good tool when it's used that way. Okay, it's just a tool. But the way it's currently being used, you know, is to project what people want you to know about themselves. You know, in the New Testament church, you end up being carried out dead when you do that. I mean, you know, come on now. How glorious is this New Testament church that when God comes in judgment over false appearances, two people out of thousands apparently are in the wrong place. Okay? I mean, isn't that, when you think of it that way, isn't that really a rather glorious thing? You know, only two people had to be judged. I mean, if other people had been doing that kind of stuff, they would have been judged too. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So now, going back to what we read in Acts 4:32, here's where we find some of the fruit of that kind of true fellowship, true sincerity, walking in the light, okay? I want to tell you, it is so important, guys. It is far more important that we be laboring to be increased in sincerity than in gifting. It is far more important. Now, am I saying that gifting is unimportant? That would be unscriptural. Because the scriptures teach us to seek earnestly the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay? But it is far more important of the two to seek sincerity. Okay, in that the spirit of truth is released in my life. Am I saying that I should only seek one? No, I should seek both. But I should seek truth rather above gifting. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, so here's the results. The congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul. Okay, how many know that we can only really ever truly be one if we're real? Okay. And we're not talking about the kind of real where I tell everyone else what their problem is, okay? We've had that in the church for a long time. It's called divisions and strife and contention. Well, this is what's wrong with you. Well, this is what's wrong with you. Well, I can tell you, you are far more wrong than I. You know, we know about where that leads. Okay? What we're talking about is sincerity and truth about myself to others. Okay? Sincerity and truth about where I am with other people. I'm not telling Dave what his problems are. If I got to talk about where anything that's wrong, it's going to be me telling him about what's where my walk with the Lord is not where it should be yet. You know, me being real and telling him, Pastor Dave, okay, this part of my walk is going good, but this part, I'm just not there yet, Pastor Dave. Okay? That's walking in sincerity and truth rather than me pointing out whatever I think is wrong with him. Amen. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Jesus said, first remove even the little speck in your own eye before you even deal or, you know, take the plank out of your own eye. Okay? You know what that tells me before you get the speck out of your brother's eye? That tells me that we are so insincere. Okay. I think I got your attention now. We're so insincere naturally that, you know, if I operate according to what I really think, I'm going to see that speck in Justin's eye, you know, but I won't see even this huge log in my own. Okay? This is why we have to work so much. You know, it's not that I'm thinking that, you know, that I'm seeing the log in my eye and I'm thinking that Justin's speck is more important. No, I don't even see the log in my own eye. Okay? And so therefore I try to help someone else. I try to criticize someone else. All right? That is how unbalanced we are, naturally speaking, in this area. We have to work at sincerity. Okay? We have to make effort to be sincere. We have to make an effort to be truly walking in the light with one another. That's a good place to say amen, but, you know, I have to work at it. It doesn't come naturally to me. What comes naturally to me is I don't see anything wrong with me. I see everything wrong with everybody else. And most of what I see wrong with them isn't really wrong. Or if it is, it's just a speck. It's a relatively minor thing. Thank you, Lord. But where there is increasing sincerity, this is what happens. They were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. There was great power. The apostles were giving testimony, for there was not a needy person among them. Hallelujah. Okay, here's what I want to say about this. In a place where sincerity is increasing and prevailing, money has no dominion over the people of God. Okay? Money has no dominion over the people of the Lord. The fear of financial future evaporates in a place where there is sincerity. Okay? The criticism of others evaporates where there is sincerity. Thank you, Lord. You know, why is it that in church we have found it so easy to be critical of others? It's because we have not been sincere ourselves. Okay? Now, where there is sincerity prevailing, money, the love of money, has no dominion over the lives of God's people. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. You know, how wonderful it would be, you know, if everyone in this room were completely free of the dominion of money. You know, and money dominates people in different ways. It doesn't just dominate people in the desire to have more money than what we need, but it dominates people primarily in the fear of lack. Okay? You know, probably most of us here in this room, as far as I know, no one here is suffering from an overabundance of millions of dollars in your bank account. You know, so you don't have all that much money to be loving, okay, for it to exercise dominion over you, as far as I know. And I speak that truthfully. As far as I know, that's not the case of anyone here in this room. That's not the problem. Okay, but how many here will be sincere enough to tell me, sometimes I am, money does exercise dominion over me through the lack of it. Okay, how many will say that? Okay, you know, and it has no power over a people who are sincere. Why is that so? Because in the sincerity of truth, kingdom values prevail. And in reality, there is no need to be fearful of our financial future as long as we obey the Lord. Amen. Where there is sincerity in walking in the light, kingdom values come forth. And that's what we see happening here. If there was ever any need, no one was fearful of the future that they would deny anything that would serve the kingdom. Kingdom values become clear. They become sharp. They come into focus. Living my life for the kingdom with my finances becomes a logical outworking of seeing things the way they really are. What helps me see things the way they really are is the increase of sincerity. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. All these people here in the early church, there was no needy person there because anyone who was owner of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. Okay? You know, what do we see here? There is no fear that is motivating their financial decisions. Amen. Okay? I mean, we're talking about some revolutionary stuff here, guys. Wouldn't it be really great to be free of the fear of financial lack? Amen. Okay. It's what Jesus is teaching. Seek first the kingdom, and you're not going to have any kind of a lack of anything. Seek first the kingdom. All those things will be supplied to you. Okay. Seek first the kingdom. Well, let's define seek first the kingdom. There must be sincerity and truth in seeking first the kingdom. His kingdom is a kingdom of truth. Amen. Its foundation is truth. Amen. We access and see the kingdom for what it is in a place of sincerity. The more sincerity there is in my life, the clearer I will see the kingdom, and the more easily the kingdom values will drive and decide every decision in my life. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Do you remember when we talked about some time ago, and I've evidently got a lot to say tonight. I'm trying to get it out as fast as I can. You know, you remember where it talks about here we compared, you know, because later in another passage in Hebrews, it talks about how in this same situation later on, people had their property confiscated. Okay. So, you know, if in this situation we had people that were selling in order to supply the needs of the kingdom, all right, and we... You know, evidently there were people that were holding on to the property, and it ended up getting confiscated. Okay? So which would you rather be? Would you rather be someone who gave, you know, to supply the needs of the kingdom, or had your property eventually taken from you? Okay? Which is more glorious? Oh, here I am. I held on to my property, and it ended up getting it taken from me. And I put up with that. Well, that's good. But I think the person that sowed it is happier right now in heaven. They have a greater reward in heaven. Okay? Kingdom values come clear. Okay? And money has no dominion. Amen. If the fear of lack is a big problem in your life, or the fear of, you know, any kind of a financial situation is a big fear in your life, work on increasing sincerity in your life. Amen. Thank you, Lord. But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself, with his wife's full knowledge. Amen. You know, and just, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but when's the last time you saw a twin son and daughter named Ananias and Sapphira? I don't think those are Bible names that are used too often. Okay? All right. Now, next point that we want to make here, you know, was their sin was of appearing better than what they actually were. Okay? And then Peter makes a statement that I think we kind of gloss over much too easily. And he says this, "You have not lied to men, but to God." Okay? Now, who did Ananias and Sapphira talk to? Peter. And everyone else who was there. Oh, so now Peter has become God? No. What is he talking about here? Okay. This is very, very critical truth here that we're covering right now. Okay. Peter is saying here, when he says you've not lied to men, but to God, Peter is saying not that you didn't talk to me. He's saying when you lied to me in God's eyes, you lied to him. Amen. You know, there are so many Christians, oh, I just talk to God. Okay? I tell God my problems. It's good that you tell God your problems. You know, but when I am being false with my brothers about where I'm at, I'm lying to God as well. Okay? The truthfulness level that I live with the people that are in this room and other members of this church that are not here right now is also the truthfulness level that God says I'm living with him. Oh, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. The truthfulness level, you know, if I'm able to be false to you, then God says I'm being false to him too. No matter what I may say to him in my prayers. Oh, thank you, Lord. Okay? You see how important it is that we be increasing in sincerity with one another? Okay? Amen. Thank you, Lord. You have not lied to men, but you have lied to God. Wow. You know, in being false to Pastor Dave, if I do that, I'm being false to God too. Thank you, Lord. Okay? You know, and I sense a really good Holy Spirit fear coming into the room right now. And that's what should be happening. Okay? Because somehow along the way, the values of the kingdom, we've kind of lost them, guys, in the church. We've kind of lost them. You know, we think we can do anything with our brother as long as we talk, you know, in private with God. No. You know, it says in 1 John, if you don't love your brother whom you do see, how can you love God whom you don't? You know, if I can't be truthful with my brother whom I do see, how am I going to be really truthful with God whom I don't? Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, this is so important, all right? You know, really, guys, we should not be afraid of people thinking that we're less for telling them the truth about where we are. We should rather be more afraid of the consequences of not telling them the truth. Okay? Now, Ananias and Sapphira were not truthful to Peter and whoever else happened to be there. And so, therefore, in the eyes of God, they had lied to God as well. Okay? And what happened? They died. Okay, here's the thing that I want to draw from this, and I think I'm probably going to close this way earlier than I thought I would And that's probably going to close in about 2 minutes, praise team. Okay? Here's the thing that it is. Where I am insincere with my brothers, death is released to move in my life. Okay? In the very areas, you know, and I'm probably being insincere about that area because death is operating on some level. Because there is something that is happening that I am embarrassed to say. Okay? There is some kind of dying that's going on. A dying to my holiness in my walk with God. Or a dying to being a loving husband, you know, with my family. Something is dying already. That's why I don't want to talk about it. Because we don't want to talk about what's dying inside of us. We want to project that everything is okay. Okay? But where I am insincere, you know, with my brothers, death is given authority and freedom to continue working. All right? And there are so many believers that are caught right there. You know, for years and years and years, they're fighting and struggling with this or that or the other. Okay? And because there is never truth and sincerity brought into the situation, death is released to continue operating. And here we're not talking about necessarily physical death, but just the death of what God has as life for them in that area. Okay? How many understand what we're talking about? Okay, and if we really understand this, and like I said, I'm going to close this. Praise team, if you guys would come on up here. I'm going to close this sooner than I have because I just really feel by the Spirit, it's time to close now. So we're going to close. Let's stand in Jesus' name. Let's stand in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to invite everyone to come here to this altar who wants to say, by coming, Lord, I'm more afraid of being insincere than of people rejecting me for me telling the truth. If you want to say that and join me here at this altar, then just come up here in Jesus' name. And I believe the fear of God in a positive way, the same kind of fear of the Lord that it talks about there, that great fear came over all who heard of it. Thank you, Lord. And then tremendous things happened. Tremendous things happened in the church. The move of God even increased. The move of God even increased. That's where I intended to end tonight. But I believe it's too important to do what where we already are. You know, and so by being up here right now, you're saying, I choose sincerity. I choose truth, not only in what I say to him who is unseen, but also to whom that I do see. My brother, my sister, I choose truth. I choose sincerity. I choose walking in the light. I choose doing what the Scripture is teaching me is New Testament Christian living. Walking in the light. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Okay, I'm going to get started. If I'm not careful, let's just leave it. Okay? Let's come and just tell Him, Lord, today I repent. Today I repent. I repent. I turn away from falseness in my dealings with my brothers. I turn away from it, Lord. I turn away from it in Jesus' name. I turn away from these things. I turn away from these things in Jesus' name. I turn away from insincerity. I turn away from being in the place where I don't see the log that's in my own eye, but I sure can see that speck in someone else's. Lord, I turn away from that in Jesus' name. I acknowledge that's where I am, except by your grace, except by your Spirit, except by your word, except by your truth, Lord, which renews me and transforms me and changes me, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I think it'd be really good if we were just to raise our hands and just pray to the Lord. And can we even call out to Him? Can we even cry out to Him and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. doing this, I'm telling you, things that create death within us are losing their grip. They're losing their hold. They're losing their ability to continue operating in our lives. They're losing their strength and their power. Hallelujah. The power of the enemy lies in darkness. Where there is sincerity, truth, and light, he loses all power. He loses all power. He loses the power to control. He loses the ability to do it. He loses the ability to drive my life into a pattern of death and destruction. He loses that ability. Come on, let's call out to him and just ask him to increase, help us increase our sincerity before others and therefore before him. Hallelujah. If he said, you didn't lie to me as a man, you lied to God. Hallelujah. Well, then when I'm telling the truth to my brother, I'm also speaking truth to the Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, we praise your holy name. Our team is going to lead us. And let's just let them minister to the Lord in song. And let's call out to him. Let's call out to him. And you know, the Holy Spirit, I am sure right now, is telling us areas of our lives that we need to be more sincere and more honest and more transparent and more walking in the light about. I am sure he's doing that. And if he is doing that in your life, I want to encourage you, make a decision at this altar. Don't wait till you leave. Make a decision at this altar that you're going to talk about it, that you're going to bring it to a brother or a sister. You're going to tell them where you really are in the Lord, whether that's good or bad, or partly both. Let's pray before the Lord as team leads us.